Today we hear from Juliana. Like many Singaporeans, English is her primary language. Her parents may have been born before Singapore's independence, but she grew up in a much more developed country. Her passion is to share Jesus with people who are different from her. She does this in the ARPC Mandarin Ministry. Two barriers make this difficult. She must communicate in Mandarin. Secondly, she must overcome a wide generation gap. Most of the people in the Mandarin Ministry are over 60 years old. The culture of these seniors developed at a very different time in history, so their beliefs and priorities are very different from the younger generations. Thus, Juliana must cross over to speak another language and be able to communicate Jesus to another generation. Today, Wei Chun discovers her story.
Hi, everyone. Today, we have Juliana with us. Juliana, you want to tell us a bit about yourself?
I'm a doctor. I am a surgeon. And I've been attending Adam Road for short of 20 years. I think 18 years. I've served in a variety of ministries in Adam Road.
That's a very long time. I understand that you're in the Mandarin Ministry at the moment.
Yes.
Do you want to share a bit about how you got into it?
Okay. I've actually always been serving in Children's Church. I served in Children's Church in my previous church. And then when I came over to Adam Road, I also started serving in Children's Church. And I was in Children's Church for, I think, a good 7 or 8 years. I think being in ministry for many years makes you sometimes a little bit complacent about depending on yourself to serve in the ministry because you're so comfortable with that particular ministry. So I felt that God was calling me to challenge myself into another ministry. It's also around the same time that I started going into China to do mission work because as my profession as a doctor, there were at that point of time a lot of opportunities to go in to do medical missions.
Mm.
And I felt that I needed to brush up on my Mandarin to help me to be able to share the gospel with the people I come to contact with when I was in China doing my missions. So I started going to Mandarin Main just to listen to the talks so that I could have a better grasp on the language to be able to share the gospel. And then as I went to Mandarin Main, I realized that perhaps God was challenging me to refocus on the new ministry and not to be so complacent on myself being in Children's Church for many years. And so after about a year attending services, I started serving in the ministry.
When was that? How long ago?
That was about 5 years ago.
I see.
I mainly serve in Bible study. I used to also lead Bible study in the English side. So moving over to the Mandarin side to do Bible study seemed like a natural thing for me to do. And they were very short at that point of time. And they are still very short of Bible study leaders at this point of time also.
Maybe you can give us an overview of how this Mandarin ministry operates.
Okay, Mandarin ministry has been around for more than 10 years. I think the main aim when it first started out was for the congregation who were looking for place to bring their parents who they wanted to share the gospel with. I think that was the main aim for Mandarin Min starting up. And as such, Mandarin Min itself consists mainly of elderly people, much more than maybe other Mandarin ministries in other churches that have a bigger variations of people in the group there. So in that sense, it's not just a ministry to Mandarin-speaking people. It's also a ministry to Mandarin-speaking elderly people, which may make it slightly different from even some other Mandarin ministries in other churches. We run like a church. So we have church service and then we have Bible study. Mainly, we meet at Bishan. We meet at 9:15 in Bishan and we have our service. And after the service, we will have a small tea break. And then after that, we will have Bible study for the folks who are interested in attending Bible study. So it's quite a long day on Sunday for many of the folks. But I think a lot of them look forward to it because it's one of the times that they are able to gather with friends of their same age and to be able to meet up with their friends. Some of them have been in Mandarin ministry for many years, some 10 over years, as long as the ministry has been functioning.
Do you want to tell us a bit about the demographics of the elderly folk that you're dealing with?
So like I mentioned before, a lot of them are parents of members of the English congregation. However, in the last 2 or 3 years, there have been an influx of new people who have been brought by members of the congregation. I guess this seems like a good juncture to tell you about this interesting story and something that really touched me quite a bit.
Mm.
So there was a couple, two ladies who came to our service, and interestingly, they are wives of comedians in Singapore in the 50s or 60s. And so they were wives of comedians and they were also in the entertainment industry. At that point of time, one of the ladies fell sick and she developed cancer. Because I was helping with her treatment and her management in the hospital, so I was fairly close to them at that point of time and I knew a bit about what was happening. She was in hospital for a good month or so before she passed away. And because she was in hospital, a lot of her entertainment industry friends came to visit her when she was dying, and they were very touched by what the church has been doing for her, because we would go and visit her and then they would come and then we would be singing. She was in the entertainment industry, so she likes to sing songs, and they really, the old folks really like to sing songs. So a lot of times in the hospital, we'd be singing songs to her. And of course, the people who came in the entertainment industry were very attracted to that, because they're in the entertainment industry. In the end, she passed away. Because they were introduced to the church through her death, they started coming to church also. And then along the way, an elderly gentleman, also one of the entertainers at that point of time, became a Christian. And then he and his wife also became a Christian. And I think the day that I saw them being baptized, it's very touching to see how God can use someone who may not be able to tell the gospel herself. However, through the actions of the community, was able to bring another gentleman to Christianity. And I still remember seeing the baptism of this elderly gentleman. In the end, he also passed away. But his friends and the people in the entertainment industry who were brought to church because of her continued to come, and they continue to come to this day to Mandarin ministry. So it's touching to see how God can use people through various methods, even though the actual gospel is not spoken through them, to bring other people to Christ. So interestingly, that's how Mandarin Min has been growing recently. However, it's also how Mandarin Min has been decreasing in numbers recently. So we face a lot of death.
Yeah.
It's a lot of additional work on top of the actual running of the ministry when members pass away, or when parents of the elderly members pass away and they want a Mandarin-speaking funeral. So we do have to help out with the Mandarin-speaking funeral.
And I hear that you guys do visitations.
Yes, we do visitations sometimes. Of course, most of the visitation is done by Pastor Yak Chow, and a lot of the older folks like, and they still have the concept that a pastor coming to visit them is the best. But among those of us who are serving in the ministry, we do try to help visit the members when they are sick or in the hospital to help encourage them, especially at this point of their life, a lot of them will be sick or unable to come to service. So when we visit them, it's an encouragement to them, and we try to encourage them to come back to service after they have recovered from their illnesses.
What about the loneliness of these elderly folks?
I think the problem with the ministry is that there's a huge limitation in how much we can do because of the number of people serving in the ministry. As much as we would like to encourage the elderly to serve among themselves, so far it hasn't been very effective. There are some of the elderly who do, because they have more time in the weekdays, they would do try to come together and visit other people. For the young people, of course, it's a little bit more difficult. It's more challenging because of work commitment. So most of the times we see them, it's mainly during Sunday. Yeah, it's an area that if we did have additional manpower, it would be helpful to be able to visit them in the weekdays.
I do know like YPEC and yes. Pastor Yak Chow himself, or yes. Maybe even other people that I don't know of, they do visitations during the week.
Yeah, so Pastor Yak Chow will do mainly the weekday visitations. Oh. And then YPEC, because she doesn't work full-time during the weekday, she will go and visit. And there are some of, like I mentioned, the elderly ladies who group together themselves. And if some of the ladies aren't able to come for service, they will go and visit them. That's as far as I know. And then hospital visitations, we will, the younger people will try to do after office hours when we have some time to visit them now.
Can you tell us a bit about the Bible studies that you guys do together?
Yeah, so we have three groups on Sundays after the service, and we do the Bible study on the passage that was preached in the morning to reinforce the preaching that our pastor has already done in the morning, and also to clarify any questions that they have. We split the groups up according to age and according to gender. So there'll be one group that's the elderly who's about 80 and above. Yeah, so it's encouraging to see that the 80s and above, some of them still come to try to learn more about God's word too. And Pastor Yak Chow mainly takes that group. And then there will be two groups, couples and the guys who are led by some of the guys. And then there's a pure ladies group, which I help serve to lead Bible study for the ladies. I think one of the challenges of doing Bible study, firstly, is language. I think most of us leading Bible study are still English speaking and we're young. So we're not that good in the language, and I think that's a barrier for a lot of people. My Mandarin is not that good. As I mentioned in the beginning also, I went to Mandarin Min to learn how to speak Mandarin better so that I could share the gospel. So even at this point of time, my Mandarin is still not as good as I hope it to be. It still takes some effort to think through what I have to say, especially when we're talking about biblical terms and theology, and some of the Old Testament names are really very difficult to remember in Mandarin. However, I think that's also when we depend on God for His help in leading Bible study and in talking. I remember there was a time when we tried to do God's big picture in Mandarin. I normally give lectures in medical school, and so I don't prepare my lectures when I give to the students. So I thought I can just point form down my talk to when I was teaching God's big picture, and I realized I can't. I have to script everything that I write, because sometimes when you're talking for a long period of time in Mandarin, we have problem trying to find the correct words to describe things. And yeah, so that's when I realized actually my Mandarin is not as good as I thought it was. Yeah. So, but it's getting better, because every week we have to do Bible study, and so that helps me in my language, and it also helps me in the way I explain it to the elderly. And explaining biblical terms to the elderly, it also requires some thought process, because what we may understand as young people may not be how we want to bring the message across to the elderly.
Are there generational issues?
Yes. So the three groups actually teach Bible study in a slightly different manner depending, and we try to cater it to the people that we are teaching it to. For me, because I teach Bible study mainly to the ladies, like you mentioned, the generational issues, I think I'm sure a lot of us are aware in our own parents that ladies were not encouraged to be very vocal about what they say when they were growing up. And so it's the same thing during Bible study. It does take some effort to get them to contribute, to think. So we try our best to ask them questions that will not just talk about the passage itself, but also talk about how the passage applies to their lives. And I think people of that generation were taught very didactically, so they also like the fact that if a pastor or a Bible study leader gives them the answers, then they will just take the answer and try to do what is the answer, the so-called right answer demands them to do. But as we know, Christianity is not about doing the right thing, but becoming a right person, and trying to change that concept to the elderly sometimes requires patience and some effort on our part. So I'm grateful that I've seen change in some of the ladies over the years that we've been teaching, and we always go back to the gospel, because I think that's the crux of, in the end, what we teach. And if there's one thing that I want them to take away, is to be able to understand the gospel, to be able to share the gospel to the people around them. And I think most weeks we reinforce the gospel through whichever passage that we are doing. Of course, there are also some disappointments. It's always easier to be able to mix in a social gathering and talk about social issues. So we tend to get distracted sometimes. The ladies will get distracted and talk about their social issues rather than focusing back on the Bible. And sometimes we have to be a bit of a spoilsport and bring them back to look at the passage, rather than they have a tendency to like to go off on a tangent on whatever topic that has suddenly cropped up in the discussion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we try to focus them back on the passage and ask them to see what the passage, how the passage can be applied to their lives. Yeah, that reminds me of generational issues. And as they get older, illnesses and growing older also hampers their ability to learn the Bible. We have a lady who actually was serving and spiritually was quite mature. However, because she has Parkinson's, and Parkinson's is a disease whereby your function gets restricted because you start shaking and you have problems walking. So because of the progress of a Parkinson, she mentioned that she has problems reading the Bible now. She has problems doing her Bible study because she can't write. And she used to do visitation and she doesn't dare to go out of the house now because she's worried that she will fall. So it's a reminder to us and to the ladies around her also that there's only a limit to how long that we are able to actively read the Bible, study the Bible until illnesses may or may not cause us to not be able to do that. I feel knowing the Bible well is important for, especially for the elderly, to be able to differentiate what is culture and what is really Christianity and not just what their understanding of what religion is. We take a lot of things that we are growing up with about what religion is, and there tends to be this blurred line between what is culture, what is religion, and what is Christianity.
Mm.
Yeah, so a lot of old people feel, I have to come to church on Sunday because it is something that I have to do rather than I want to come to church to worship God. And I think that's an issue that a lot of young people also have. Sometimes we also have that issue that going to church is very important because it's the building that we worship in. But being able to be clear about what worship is and be clear about what God wants us to do, I think going back to the Bible is very important.
Just out of interest.
Yes.
Given that I am in the music ministry,
yes,
I noticed that if we sing a song in Hokkien, yes, or in some dialect,
yes,
like I think it can minister to some people, which is their mother tongue.
Yes.
So do you guys actually do a lot more singing and maybe in dialect as well with these people?
Yes. So one of the very popular ministries that a lot of young people like to serve in Mandarin Min is the music ministry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So now we have a variety of ways. We have guitarists, we have pianists, and we have song leaders. And we also have a choir. So I think we're the only one in church that has a choir.
They love singing in the choir. Yeah, so
we're grateful for new people who have come in. One of our members was trained in vocal training. That's why he came on board and he felt God telling him to start a choir. And so now we have a choir which performs during our events. So we will have events like Parents' Day dinner, which is coming up in May.
Mm.
And then we will have church camp and we will have Mid-Autumn Festival, and the choir performs during these events.
Mm.
And the members really like to do it. So like you mentioned, because we will choose songs either relating to their decade or we'll choose dialect songs, and they like to sing. I mean, like the story that I mentioned the last time, a lot of them like to sing. And it's a good reminder for them from the song and the lyrics about what the gospel is about and what Christianity is about. And we try to choose songs also that highlight these. We don't just choose any songs.
Mm.
Ministering in music is one of the ways people serve in Mandarin Min also. We do understand that the social gatherings and the activities and the food and the drinks encourages people to come, and that's the aim for us, to have more new people come into the service, any Mandarin speaking people to come for the service. And then hopefully through the friendships we are able to speak the gospel to them, and from then on we can continue teaching them the Bible. I think that's the aim of any of our ministries, to find the way that is able to attract a person to come to church. And then from then on, we encourage them to stay in church and learn God's word through that manner. So it's doing the same thing to different age groups in a different way. Yeah, modeling it, remodeling it so that it's suitable and attractive to the people who come.
Like how Jesus says a fitting word to the person that he's ministering.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And that requires wisdom, especially when you're dealing with people who you may not understand their thought process that well.
Mm.
I mean, I guess for young people or even like for me, if I minister to a medical professional, I am able to understand them better. But to minister to somebody that you may not have that much understanding of requires you to go down to inquire and to spend more time with them.
Are there anything that you can think of we can pray for you and the ministry?
We thank God that the ministry has been growing, as I mentioned before. A lot of times now, not just parents are coming in, there are older folks bringing in other older folks. In general, it's still majority of the people serving in the ministry are from the English service. So that creates a challenge, because if somebody comes from an English service and serves in the ministry, then it may be an area of service. But to the elderly people, this is their church. So we straddle this balance between whether this is a church or this is just a ministry. We pray for more young people and older people also, actually, because older people will be nearer their age group to come and serve in Mandarin ministry, so that there will be more people who are committed to the ministry.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's a weekly ministry, and every week we require people to serve in the ministry. Over the years, the number of young people who have been serving has been fluctuating. So we are always trying to replace people who are serving in the ministry. So actually, a lot of people find the challenge is language. But I think we thank God that a lot of Singaporeans are trained in both languages. And even though we may feel that our language may not be good enough to serve, I think, as in my own case, that God will equip you to serve. And I don't think our Mandarin has to be perfect to be able to serve in the ministry. There are many other areas that we can serve in the ministry. So something that I guess people can pray for us is for continuity of the people who are serving in ministry, and for new members to come in to serve with us, and for the hearts of the older people to be encouraged so that they will also be able to serve. We are happy that there are some of the younger, older people who are now stepping up to initiate, to help out in certain areas of service. In fact, last year, one of the couples who was 60-something went to visit one of our church members in Siam Reap and helped in the ministry that they were doing there. So, prayerfully, at some point of time, we were able to encourage the elderly to also go out to do mission.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yes, but that requires a lot of courage on the part of the elderly. So people serving, and for the elderly to step up and to take ownership of the ministry also. We pray for Pastor Yak Chow, who has been serving this ministry for 10 years.
But still always with a big smile.
Yeah. I mean, we need to encourage him and to support him in the ministry also. I guess also more people to be aware of the ministry. As people get more aware of the ministry, firstly, they will encourage either their parents or their elderly family members to come to the ministry. And actually, my hope is that as we mature, prayerfully, we can expand not just to just the elderly Mandarin-speaking, but even to the bigger Mandarin-speaking population in Singapore, of which we have been quite limited because of the number of people serving, that we will not be able to expand it too much also. But we pray that God will bring these people in, and as we bring them in, then there will be a need, and then prayerfully there will be He will also give us the capability to be able to help not just the elderly, but also the not so elderly Mandarin-speaking people.
Juliana, can you share about someone who has been transformed through the ministry?
I think the couple that I mentioned just now who went to Siam Reap. So when I first joined the ministry, they had just become believers. They're actually the parents of some of the English congregation members, and they've gone through illness. And I remember him sharing at the Parents' Day dinner at that time. And I'm grateful to have seen him and the wife grow through the years that I've been in the ministry, despite the illnesses that they've had to go through. They also shared at the last retreat about this particular trip that they made to Siam Reap, because before they left for Siam Reap, his wife had very bad back pain, and she thought that she will not be able to make it for the trip, and she prayed for God to heal her, and then the back pain just went away and they were able to make the trip. So I think they are a couple that comes to mind when I see them growing through the ministry, and I'm thankful that they've continued to be serving in whatever way they can serve. So they will, yeah, in the little ways that they can serve, they try to serve. And we pray that God will allow them to serve in bigger ways also.
Praise God. How how have you been changed through this ministry yourself?
One of the major things that I mentioned is the dependence on God through the ministry, to be able to know that I don't do this on my own, but that God strengthens me to be able to serve. I think when I was serving in Children's Church, I reached a stage that a lot of things were on autopilot, that I knew what to do all the time. But because this is new ministry and the new challenges all the time, whether it's language challenge or it's how to contextualize the gospel to reach out to these people, or even the tiredness of having to serve. And then sometimes when people are sick, and on top of that, you have to do Bible study. And then, so there are a lot of demands on the week to serve that reminds me to depend on God. I guess in that sense, it also is a form of cross-cultural mission in that sense, because it's a different culture for us. The elderly, even though we're on the same race, the culture is different. So it taught me a lot about cross-cultural, how I can have to adapt to the people that I am teaching and the people I'm reaching out to, because they don't think the same way as me. And I guess that's what cross-cultural is, that people don't think the same way as you. And patience, because it's slow, long-term ministry. We don't see the type of growth that we see in young people when you teach them the Bible. Sometimes you see them really serving in the next 1 or 2 years, you see them coming out and serving, and then you are encouraged. But this ministry tends to be a bit slower to see the growth of the members. But yeah, it teaches me patience to know that God works in His own time, in His own way.
Thank you for listening to Light from Asia, a podcast by Adam Road Presbyterian Church. If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned until next time when we hear another perspective on the Mandarin ministry.